This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, two in the books, one to go. Final hour of the show. It is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Tuesday. Tomorrow, Way Back Wednesday. Don't ask and we won't tell because we can't. We don't have a theme yet, but we're working on it, I think, as people continue to make suggestions. But before we open up the final 60 minutes, I do want to tell you guys that ESPN 97.5 is partnering with a local company, Garner Oil, in a really, really neat deal to help out first responders and medical professionals this Thursday. So 2 days from now. Garner Oil is the Texas distributor for a product called BioPledge. They use BioPledge to treat the interior of vehicles, and it kills 99.99% of the microbes on contact, things like bacteria, viruses, and fungus. BioPledge actually bonds to the surface and keeps killing for 30 to 120 days, and it's absolutely perfect for what's going on right now. So this Thursday, they want to treat the vehicles of first responders and medical professionals for free. They're going to set up in the parking lot of Damaris Barbecue on the West Loop North at 18th Street, and they're going to do it from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. It takes less than 10 minutes for a vehicle to be treated. So if you're a first responder or a medical professional, bring your credentials and get a free BioPledge treatment for your vehicle this Thursday, Damaris Barbecue, in their parking lot, West Loop North and 18th Street. Thank you all for your service.
I tell you what, as a spouse to a medical person, I guess that's how you medical service
professional.
Okay, that's a cool thing, man. That's because you know, no matter who they are, and really it's anybody. It's so many others than just medical professionals. I mean, I saw where Google was giving a shout out to transportation workers, public trans. Like if you drive a bus and you're responsible for, you're putting your life at risk doing that too. And you know, they're unsung heroes. But there's so many people, and it's so cool when someone wants to give something back like that, because I do worry about Nora going to work and coming home and getting sick. And if she can go, and you know, she can't because she works till 10:30 at night every night as of late, but it's cool that they can go and get that done. And it's a little bit of peace of mind in crazy times.
So
props to everybody involved with that.
You bring it up, people on the front line. We talked about that bus driver in Detroit that bitched about the fact that people weren't respecting him having to do his job, and they were coughing, not covering their mouth, or whatever. He got the virus and died 2 weeks later. So it's serious business.
Yeah.
And this stuff like that BioPledge is doing is fantastic, because I saw that they're doing it for like Life Flight and helicopters and things like that too. And essentially you put it in, you shut the doors or whatever, however they do what they do, and in 10 minutes it gets – they said even places you can't see or think about, you know, making sure that they are clean, it's a good deal. So if you can, you should stop by. It's a great deal, and it's definitely for a great cause and first responders.
Yeah, very cool. Hey, I saw a thing, and this kind of goes without saying, but it was pretty – it's not shocking but stupid at the same time. But, you know, I mean, as you know, it's slim pickings on the stuff that there's available to talk about. But one of the things that Bro Bible had on their website was, this is the headline. I'm just going to read you the headline. Absolute tone-deaf Texans fans are sending death threats to Bill O'Brien over wild off-season trades. And essentially what's happened is, you know that people are like, oh, I want him fired. I want the guy fired. I don't want him as the GM or the head coach of the Texans anymore. But that's called sports. That's what you are when you're a coach or a player. You know that you're going to be criticized and you're going to have those things, right? It's just like when we do radio. People are going to criticize us and talk about us.
Yep.
You know that you know that. So how you handle it is up to you. But you know, getting into it, that's what's going to happen.
Sure.
So the criticism is one thing, but there are literally idiots out there. Let me read you some of these tweets. I'm going to absolutely murder Bill O'Brien. Who's going to bail me out of jail? I promise I will kill Bill O'Brien. My hatred of this man gives my life purpose. If Bill O'Brien doesn't contract COVID-19 and die, there is no God.
Oh, man.
If Corona doesn't kill Bill O'Brien, I will. Like, these are actual human beings typing this.
Is any one of these guys' Twitter handle Texan King?
Because
if the Tiger King can be convicted of stalking Carol with some of his comments, well, these tweets pretty much fall right in line.
Well, this one got a little racist. Someone please kill Bill O'Brien. Hope that stupid white boy gets corona. That's not very nice. And it's racist. Yeah. You're racist.
Now, Barry.
And you're a murderer.
You and Nick, having been here your whole lives. No, this isn't the first time we've heard of this, though. Remember when Jacoby Jones fumbled in the playoffs?
Yep.
And, like, they went to his house and they were, like, ripping up his lawn and doing and making threats on him? Or the fact that I think it was just in the last year or two, Josh Reddick tweeted out and goes, look, I appreciate y'all being passionate fans, but it ain't cool to follow me home from the ballpark. And
yeah,
and, like,
that's
stalk
creepy.
That kind of stuff, I mean, again, it's one thing, like you said, to be a fan, but that kind of fandemonium is too far.
Remember people showed up to Matt Schaub's house during the pick six fiasco?
Yeah.
That's too far. I don't know how to phrase this without sounding arrogant. As someone in the public eye, I understand how there's up to a certain point you know what you sign up for, but then it goes from criticism to creepy, and it goes from words to threats, and you can hate me, you can hate Bill O'Brien, you know I do hate Bill O'Brien. I don't wish death on the man. And I certainly wouldn't go out and tweet that even if I thought it. Or I wouldn't put it out there and say it if I thought it. And when you start following people, when you start – like some dude – remember that dude that tweeted the information about my house? Like that's just weird. Like,
no, that's way over the line.
Far.
And I've told you, you know, from Lisa's perspective, fact that it's one thing when you have people in prison that are sending her things. It's another thing when you have people stalking – And one, when she was pregnant with Taylor, there were people that were dropping off like notes that said, I want to buy your child clothing, but I want you to be there and do all these other things. She was like, wait a minute. Then there were guys that literally I had to get the police involved because they were stalking her and they were making threats. And you're like, okay, time out. I got a pregnant wife. And the station was kind of like, do you really worry about that stuff? Yeah, it's my wife and my unborn kid. If you're not going to do it, I'm going to do it. I got the HPD involved. They have this whole new unit that was focused on. I was like, look, I just need to know what I'm looking for. Like, what's the make and model of the car, whatever. They had to get involved a couple times because these people just take it too far.
Yeah, it becomes weird and creepy and yeah. But some people just don't know those kinds of boundaries. And some people think it's one thing. I don't know. I think one day I was joking. And I was like, if you do this, this, and this, kill yourself. And I know that's not appropriate, but it was not directed at any one person. It was a joke. It was in the context, in the middle of a joke. But if you're like, yo, I hope Bill O'Brien gets COVID-19 and dies. Like, why? What? I've wished people get COVID-19, but I didn't hope they die from it.
I was going to say, that's come up. But you know,
maybe not to the point of death,
yeah, but yeah.
Well, what's wrong? I mean, like, if I could wish you get the flu. I don't want you to die from it, but I think it'd be cool if you got a little fever and a cough for a week.
That's nice.
But I don't want you to die from it, right?
Oh, jeez. Like, well, there's the consolation. Well, I feel much better now.
There has to be that line.
Get sick and throw up for 24 hours, but don't die.
Don't make this about you, Joel. There has to be that yeah, it gets weird. Don't be weird. I just tell people all the time. I tell people this when I do the comedy workshops. Rest in peace to comedy. I do where I'm like, guys, just don't make stuff weird. You can do whatever. Just don't be weird, and everything's okay. And that's a life lesson, not just a comedy lesson. It's a life lesson. Just don't be weird. You're good. But wishing death on Bill O'Brien because he traded DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, you know, you can wish he gets fired, but death? Come on, man.
Man, that's way over the top. Man. So, yeah.
Some people
for
said
sure, take
all
it
those were
much.
His burner accounts. No.
well, you know what? It would get people off the trail of them being burner accounts if they actually took shots at him. So,
yeah,
you know what? Sometimes you got to kind of, you know, do a little extra to cover your tracks. I don't think they're his burner accounts. Yeah, I in terms of going to – that was the other thing too was I think Lisa told me, but I think others have said that when people are on TV, if they have like the teleprompter remote, there are stalkers out there that think that, you know, they'll send a note to someone on TV and go, hey, if you really are interested in me, or you think, you know, you think you're thinking about me, you know, go to the remote at the desk or something like that. And then, you know, you're like, if you read any of your mail at all, you're like, well, I know I got to use the teleprompter, but now this dude's going to think that I'm interested in him. It's wow. Just there's creepers out there, man.
That is very weird. God, that gives me the chills. It's creepy. But real quick, somebody texted and said, hey, does this BioPledge company have somewhere to buy a kit? My wife is a nurse, but she works Thursday. I'd love to support the company as well. Thanks. There is – I will – if you will
– I would
me,
go.
DM me your – text me your email, and I'll have Todd – or the folks over at BioPledge get in touch with you.
You have the time, check the website and yep. or email promotion@galmedia.com, and someone will be able to get you that information. Yep. It's out.
Well, I'll get Todd directly to him.
Okay.
Yeah, so Dustin who's with BioPledge is the one that kind of hit me up about this. So I'm happy to pass along the info so you can support them, because it is great.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. All right. We've got the final hour of the show rolling on, and we've still got time for you. So 713-780-3776, HR&P listener line. You can call that number. You can text that number. You can hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through the final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Boy, you're Barry, you are not lying. Text line spicy.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people with a lot of out there opinions.
Somebody just texted, Barry, if you're thinking of me, make fun of Nick.
So good.
I love our listeners, dude.
Yes. So fantastic.
I award you no points.
Outstanding. That is text of the week. That is text of the week. So good.
Yeah. Very, very well played. Yep.
Nick is dumb.
Well, I'm not going that far.
Disagree with that sentiment.
Yeah. I mean, we missed you. At least I missed you, Nick. You know. All right. So Major League Baseball today. I think they're doing the right thing. Commissioner Rob Manfred said they're committed to paying league employees through at least the end of May, and said senior staff at the league, including himself, are going to reduce their pay by an average of 35% for the entire year of 2020. Manfred said in the memo that MLB would continue making scheduled financial distributions to all 30 teams in April and May, and money that will assist the clubs in paying the salary advances that are being made to players, which will total $170 million over the next 2 months. Look, great gesture.
Well, thank goodness the players are going to get paid.
Yeah, and then hopefully with the money that they're saving with the upper management of Major League Baseball, you know, taking 35% pay cuts, they'll have some fundage to take care of some of the rest of the front office that aren't as higher ranked that need the money. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I think that is cool when the leadership at the top say, "Hey, look, we're gonna make some sacrifices for everybody else." That's always cool. And then now, do they give back? Right? Do they, like you said, because it's not just because there are people in baseball, the corporate side of baseball, MLB, that, you know, there's accountants, there's everybody top to bottom, for you name it. They have employees just like any other company, and I'm sure that them taking that 35% pay cut is going to allow them to continue to support those employees. And so you just wonder if that's going to trickle down to the team aspect as well, where the Astros, for example, you know, are going to continue to take care of their employees through all this. And you don't know for how long. How long can you sustain that with little or no income? I mean, if they're going to pay the players – boy, it would be a PR nightmare if they're not paying their front office workers.
No doubt. No doubt. And, you know, and here's the thing. So that's baseball, Then you talk about basketball. And yesterday it came out that the league said it would take at least 25 days to get the NBA ready to get back to play once they were cleared to do so. And half of that time would be players doing individual workouts controlled by team personnel and training staff so that they could still maintain social distancing but start getting into shape. Then another 2 weeks in which they would have training camp-like situations, playing five-on-five if they were cleared medically, to get ready to then play. That's a month, okay? Now, bad news today, word out of China is the Chinese Basketball Association has for the second time postponed trying to get back to playing basketball, and the NBA using China, because that's where the virus started, as the basic barometer for what they're going to do as a league. A lot of NBA sources are coming out retweeting that news going, this is really bad news if you're hoping the NBA comes back. Yeah. Because with every time they postpone it, that means the NBA has more concerns to deal with, more issues that will arise, and the potential of games being played gets less and less. So, I mean, baseball and basketball, man, football's in the driver's seat. They've been the entire time because they have so much time on their hands. But when we're talking about now, sporting events, the next sporting events we could see being hopefully August. College football and NFL football, and who knows?
Whew, boy. It's been rough 3 weeks. What has it been, a month? 3 weeks of no sports?
Yeah. It's about almost a month.
How long? About a month, right?
Mm-hmm.
With no sports? Could you imagine till August?
Bro.
Oh, boy. Wow. And I mean, I always said I would never watch esports. I'm not going to lie to you guys, because, you know, I started looking into this Twitch streaming and all that stuff, and I started watching stuff. I'm like, okay, this is mildly entertaining compared to what's on right now.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean,
not even going to lie. I Twitched for the first time. I streamed for the first time. Me playing MLB The Show. And then I was like, all right, well, let me go see how everybody else does it. And then I just sat there and watched a dude play baseball on PS4 or whatever. Yeah, PS4, because it's the only place. And then I was like, I just sat through six innings of digital baseball.
Well, and that's the scary thing.
And I was
thing.
Like, okay. And I just killed some time. And
that's
I wasn't
the scary
bored.
Thing. We talked about the Mets, and local broadcast outlets are doing virtual games, and their announced teams are calling them. Then you've got the ESPN guys doing the whole virtual tournament that got better ratings, by the way, than the horse tournament. Because if you didn't see this, the ratings for the stupid-ass horse tournament this weekend for a national network like ESPN, and we talk about millions whenever we talk about ratings for national.
Uh-huh.
600,000+ people watched horse. You can't fool these people. Sucky programming is sucky programming, whether it be in the pandemic or not.
That's awful. Good Lord, that is awful. Yeah,
you know,
nobody wants.
Hey, dear Coca-Cola, we can't have your sponsorship as part of games. We got this great horse tournament coming up. You're going to get a ton of ratings. People are going to be just glued to the set because there's nothing else to
imagine?
Watch. Nope. 600,000 people watching that garbage in the backyard.
Can you imagine that everybody that paid for that? Oh, like advertisers? Oh.
Yeah. Or if that was a make good. You know, if you're throwing it in for
right,
free
that's
and
probably
I'm still
going to
get my sponsorship is one thing. But if you go and get a new sponsor for the horse tournament, you're like, boy, I just basically just flushed money down the toilet. That's awful.
That is awful. You know what would be cool? Too bad you don't have a PlayStation, or Nick doesn't have a PlayStation, because I would like – it would be cool if, you know, like if two of us played each other in baseball and then live streamed.
I was
just
thinking the same
hang
thing.
Out
I really need
chat.
To get a PS4, man.
Yeah. I would – dude, we could hop on at night and play each other at MLB The Show, let the listeners come in to live chat, and we could talk to the listeners and each other and all that. That'd be fun.
I'm totally down for that. I feel like I don't. All the cool people are on PS4. We've had this conversation.
Yeah. Well, you know, it says a lot about you. All the cool people are on PS4. Nick, where are you? Not on PS4. What are you? Not the cool people.
Although a lot of texters would come in and text and say, that's not the case because I've had to give out my gamer tag multiple times. I just don't have the same games.
I'm still stuck in PS I Love You, so I don't even know about a PS4.
Oh, my God, Joel.
Yeah,
I
can't even be worried about
by
me.
By the way, speaking of that joke you just made.
Yes.
Somebody, where did you delete it? Oh, you deleted it. You coward. Somebody
I'm said say something to right now. Yeah, because you know what? That same number, which I'm so tempted to put out there for the general public. But it's not the first time. So you know what? If you want Joe Schmo that's never been anywhere or done anything in their life, then go find someone else.
I clearly missed what happened.
Listen to this text. Joel, if you're thinking of me, humble brag and do some name dropping. You gotta admit, Joel, that's pretty funny. I mean,
do I? I do? No, you do. I don't.
Do I? Oh God, that's hilarious. I seriously, our listeners are sometimes they're really funny.
In certain cases with certain numbers that I may give out, they're D-bags. So there you go.
Oh, give it out. That's fine by me. So funny.
No, not giving all 10 digits. Maybe 7 of them. We'll see. Then you only have 3 area codes to choose from.
Yeah, and by the way, don't either of you should not – somebody texted PS5 is coming out. Definitely don't go and buy a PS4. Definitely don't do that because the PS5 is coming out this year in a few months. Now, you can get a good deal, I think, but PS5, I think, drops at the end of the year. It'll probably drop for Christmas, so don't do it. I can't wait.
Okay.
Cannot wait.
I'm thinking at some point – I don't know with girls versus boys in video games, but I don't know if Taylor will get into video games or not.
There's
a lot of female gamers.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of you're either into it or you're not. I mean, if she's on for like 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 hours a day, then yeah, she's a gamer. It's just that simple.
Now, she's big on her iPad. I mean, and she operates that thing like nobody's business, but I mean, that's a big difference from that to, like, actual gaming. And if she's gaming, I will happily play games with her, but I'm sure we're not going to be playing Madden and we're not going to be playing NBA 2K and all this other stuff. I'm sure she'll be playing, like, I don't know, Puppy Dog Pals or something. So,
no, that's definitely a trend. Like, there's, like, the kids coming up now, they're doing the Twitch and the streaming, and they're becoming celebrities that way. And that's it. Like, they have followers, like hundreds of thousands of followers and fans. And it's crazy. The more I look at it and I'm trying to figure it all out, because somebody just texted and said, I've been watching Twitch for the past 5 years. It's like, it's better than TV a lot of times. But they said that you oldies would have to pick up on a lot of slang. And there is, I'm like, what does that mean? Because, you know, I'm trying to figure it out, but I'm like, what the hell are bits? What is a raid? What does all this mean? I have no idea. I'm so old and trying to figure it out.
Is that in terms of terms to be used within a specific game, or is it just in general?
Both. Like, if you – but I don't do the – like, Titan Hugo texted and it's like, Barry, I'll play you in MLB The Show. Nope. Mm-mm. No. I'm not going to start playing everybody. This is the whole reason I don't play online. Like, I would play Joel or Nick, and that's pretty much it. Like, if it wasn't those two, I don't want to play competitively online because then I got to get cursed out.
And then you got listeners that are going to be, like, thinking it's the greatest thing since they've won the World Series, so they're going to be texting and tweeting.
Well, everybody's going to beat me because I'm not great at it. The only reason I do it is it's fun, right? Like,
truth of the matter, Barry. You know as well as I do, we're both competitive. You're not going to take kindly to getting your ass whooped by all these different listeners. So you avoid it by just putting that prerequisite right there.
All
right.
Just
Joel or Nick, and that's it. Because then I'm not going to – I'll take their crap. I'm not taking yours.
Fact. I don't need 5,000 people being like, I whooped his ass. Nope. Don't need that. I'm out on all that ass whooping online. No, thank you.
Yeah.
And as much as I love Titan Hugo, nope.
979 ending in 2141. You put yours in. We'll talk about it later. All right. So we've got plenty more to get to in the final half hour of the show. So you guys can reach the show at 713 780 3776. That is our regular HRNP listener line. You can call that number. You can text that number. And, of course, you can always hit us on Twitter as we continue to roll through Tuesday on The Usual Suspects. Final half hour comes up next. Before we do that, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. I've been telling you about them for quite a while. Josh Pesikoff and his staff do a fantastic job. They're locally owned and operated. They're not like the big companies that just want you to sign on the dotted line, don't really care where you live or what you do. The Infuse Energy people do, and they're going to make sure that they prove it. When you call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, you're going to get a human being on the phone and not an automated system. They're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them. They're going to pinpoint when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for your business or for your family? And then they're going to get you the best rate and the best deal they possibly can. Their customer service, second to none, 5 out of 5-star rating on the Public Utilities Commission of Texas, and they're going to do these things for you. You mentioned ESPN 97.5. It's a $25 bill credit on your first bill, and the process goes from there. I'm telling you, folks, I switched 3.5 years ago. I could not be happier. I've saved thousands, and their customer service, as they say, is very much spot on. They're never going to screw you over. They're always going to be honest, and they're giving you the best deals they possibly can. Simply put, it's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. Infuse energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, rolling through the final half hour of the show. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Tuesday. Yes, we know it's a way back Wednesday. Tomorrow, we're still talking about the theme. We'll come up with that and let y'all know. We were talking about just when we're going to see sports again in terms of college, pro, everything that's going on. I don't know if you guys caught this or not, but the University of Cincinnati is doing something that it is now expected a lot of universities are going to be evaluating as more and more time passes with this coronavirus. They're starting to cancel programs. They're starting to shut down those non-big-time revenue-generating college sports programs and teams. And I think it's a pattern that's going to, you're going to see more of before you see the whole situation get any better. And that's not good because, you know, there's a lot of kids out there that have spent their whole lives trying to get a college scholarship and play it at a college level, whether it be lacrosse or, you know, water polo, swimming, whatever the case may be. If it's not, as we've talked about, the two major money makers, which are football and basketball, you got to kind of put it on your radar that we're going to start seeing more frequently that the colleges are just going to pull the plug on non-revenue generating sports.
Yeah, and it's not a good thing. Listen, it's important that these opportunities be made available to kids. I mean, there are so many people that have an education because they had sports that allowed them to either get a half ride or a quarter ride or whatever it is, full rides. It doesn't matter, but they were able to go and get an education. We always talk about football. We always talk about basketball, and we always talk about really it being the transition into professional sports. But for there's so many more athletes in this country mm-hmm. that look at it as a way to get an education and for their future. And even if it is soccer or, you know, water polo, nobody pays to go to water, just parents. That's the year, you know what I mean? But
yeah, I mean, so the University of Cincinnati ended men's soccer
for a lot of reasons.
They ended men's soccer, and they didn't even say that it was going to be temporary. They said permanently. So that's one thing.
That's what I mean.
But now, Barry, the other thing is we're going to get into Title IX again because now you're going to start talking about did you cut a woman's program? Because if you did, you better cut a men's program too, and everything's got to be equal. And it's just there's just
well
going to
now
be
you got to cut women's soccer, right?
Well, it's possible, right? On the flip side, you might have some people that say, well, if you're going to cut men's, then cut women's. You don't know. A lot of universities, you have one men's team that's better than the other women's team, maybe. But on a flip side, you know, think about how successful University of Connecticut women's basketball is, or Baylor women's basketball. Now Baylor's men's team is good too, but there's going to be situations where, on the flip side, the women can say, "Hey, look, we're winning, and with that we have a following. And the men's side on the other side, they're not. Why are you cutting this versus that? So it's going to bring all kinds of issues to the table for college sports with opening this Pandora's box. We'll see how it plays out, but Cincinnati's the first as they've ended men's soccer. I don't think they're going to be the last.
Nope. I don't either. I think you're going to see a lot more of it just because of the money aspect of it. Like you said, they don't generate revenue if they cost more than they make. And these colleges, don't get it twisted, they run like a business.
Oh, so, no doubt about it. Because you have athletic directors that are already planning for this. You've seen the Big Ten and several other big conferences. The ADs are already out there going, you guys don't realize that just missing out on one Big Ten or SEC tournament, you know, for college basketball or one bowl game. You know, we may laugh at the fact that there's a, you know, car care bowl or whatever it is, but the university is probably getting six figures in revenue for playing in that bowl game. So the fact that, you know, when you start talking about revenue that as an athletic department, you expected, whether you expected your team to make the tournament or the revenue that was going to be generated from the conference tournament and all the different and all the ticket, you know, all the ticket sales, all the different sponsorship things, take all that away and realize this is serious business for these colleges.
Yep.
So we'll see how it plays out, but that's sad because again, the other thing that people need to also kind of digest is you want college football back. It's a team sport. So just like we were talking about with the NBA saying they need almost a month just to get ready, right now there's still plenty of time for college football and for NFL. But as you get closer to those dates, it's not just going to take 30 days. There's a ton more players. There's going to be a ton more testing. Even if they come back and play, there's talks on both the college level and even on the pro level that the games will still be played without fans in the stands. They talked to Jim Kelly this morning on ESPN because he was talking about Bills Mafia and how passionate they are. And he's like, well, they might just crack open an extra Coors Light and watch it on their TV. But you know the fans are going to be clamoring to be at the games. It's going to be completely weird for the players that won't have a home field advantage or feel the crowd get behind them for momentum. And the level of play is probably going to be at a really, really, really subpar level for a lot of the, or at least early on in the seasons, because you can't practice and you're not getting ready and there aren't off-season workouts.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and those are critical. I mean, that's all part of, you know, what goes into making everything as good as it is. All that, you don't go, okay, everybody play football, and then everybody walks in the field, you know? There's so much more to it, and it's all necessary, or it wouldn't be done.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a crazy time we're in the middle of right now, and it's, you know, I saw a medical professional on CNN last night. I think it was on Don Lemon's show, and he was like, "So, as a medical expert, because they were talking about politics and you know Fauci and all these other things, he said, take all of that out of it. Just tell me" where we are if we were in an 18-hole round of golf right now in terms of the pandemic. And I'm thinking he's going to say the back nine, you know, because we're seeing the, you know, the increases start to slow down, all these other things. He goes, we're on hole number two.
Mm.
I'm like, if he's anywhere close to right, we aren't having sports before the holidays.
Mm-mm. Damn. Yeah, I don't like hearing that.
Now, he's kind of basing on the fact that you want a vaccine. And we know that with the FDA and other things, it's going to take, you know, even if they fast track it, it would probably take 8 months to a year. And a worst case scenario is 18 months. But to hear you're only on the second hole of an 18-hole round in terms of how long this thing's going to play out, that sucks.
Yeah.
God. So it's very scary. Yeah.
Making me sad, Joel. Making me sad.
Well, we'll have to find something to pick it up in the final segment. I'm being a realist. I mean, you don't want to hear about all this. But you know that,
it's facts.
You know, as much as you want to stay optimistic and hopeful that it's going to be over sooner rather than later, even for everybody that thought, hey, we get to April, end of April, we're good, it's probably not going to be that simple. So yeah. Hopefully the medical profession is on it, and I know people are working on it every day, but hopefully they find a vaccine and they get on top of fixing this because it's tough. It's tough for everybody with no sports in the world. So, by the way, I know that you got the listener that actually did respond and gave you the email address. So we'll get that. Okay, good. We'll get the BioPledge information out there.
Todd has already reached out to Dustin. So, yeah, you should be hearing something. Because for those that don't know, we had a couple listeners already text the show and be like, hey, we can't make it Thursday, but want to buy the product, the BioPledge product, and get it for my wife or whoever. So, yep, Todd's already been in contact. So you guys will get that info ASAP.
There you have it. So we got one segment to go on the show. Lots of good things. If you missed any of it, ESPN975.com. You can click on the show tab for the suspects at the top of the page. The menu will come down. You can pick up on what you missed. But better yet, just check out the front page. Catch up on everything we got going on from the BioPledge for first responders on Thursday. But just so much that we're trying to do to give back and appreciate you for listening to us while we get through this. It is the usual suspects, ESPN975.
Of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. As we put a bow on it, turn it over to the Blitz, is Fred and AJ will be taking you home till 7 o'clock today. Nick, you're not on the clock for that, are you?
I am. I will be producing the Blitz. I'll be producing Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis. By the way, I forgot to send you guys some audio about his nephew. I don't know if Aaron did it on one of the days that I was off, but his nephew, Con Davis, is like on week number 5 or 6 with the coronavirus. 35 years
old. I saw
that.
Male. Yeah, he tweeted it.
Has gone to the emergency room 2 or 3 times. I know Joel made it depressing, and we thought we would turn this around. But it's a really good interview if you want to check that out. I normally don't. I mean, it's something that I think it added a lot of perspective.
Pile on me. I didn't make it depressing. I'm just telling you what's going on in the world.
My point was, you said you were going to evolve into a more positive, and I brought it back down. I was taking the blame for it is what I was doing.
Okay. Well, and look, Glenn tweeted that too. And again, we talked about Chris Cuomo. Just the fact that if you don't think and realize this is serious business with this Corona 19, just follow some of these people going through what they've been going through. Nick, you brought it up a few weeks ago when you found that doctor that was chronologically going through every one of his experiences in Spain. And it's just, man, it is real, it is serious, and it can be deadly, and it's scary. So pay attention. And obviously, with someone like Glenn Davis, listen to Soccer Matters and check him out on Twitter because he's got a lot of that information up there about his nephew. It's serious stuff.
No, it's good because this dude has like a lung capacity of, I don't know, like he's like a young, in-shape dude. He was, I think, documented as one of the first 50 people to be diagnosed with the coronavirus in Manhattan. Was in Italy, made his way back to New York where he stays. I mean, there's a lot of good information, and it just raises awareness for some of you 35-year-old dudes that think you can handle the coronavirus in the event that you get it, and maybe some youngins.
Think you're invincible. Yeah.
Yep. The good and the bad and the ugly of...
Hey, real quick.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say the good and the bad and the ugly on that note, too, when we were talking about coronavirus. There was an idiot in Florida on the ugly and the bad side of things that thought it would be real humorous to order like dozens of pizzas from restaurants across New Jersey and where there was a large coronavirus outbreak and then not pay for them. So they're trying to find this ass clown who decided that that would be real humorous. Was the restaurants are now up thousands of dollars because he had placed the orders, obviously never paid for the pizzas, and they went to waste. Same guy who, by the way, was on probation for selling fake Disney World tickets. So he's a real class act. But on the flip side, Tyson Fury, $700 pizza order to take care of essential people, and then left a really good tip on top of it. So that's the good part of it. There's people trying to do good. There's also horses' asses that are still doing bad.
That's terrible. How much did he tip, do we know?
Yeah, I had it. I just... I'll get it for you real quick. But he ordered $700 in pizzas from take care of, I believe it was first responders, which is a nice gesture in itself. But the Astros are doing that. A lot of different local celebs and otherwise are doing that. We mentioned yesterday Russell Westbrook actually also bought 650 laptop computers so that the kids that didn't have the money could actually get their schoolwork done online while all this is going on. So here's the story. Let's see. He left $125 tip on a $700 order. So he and his wife, Paris, and their five children placed the $700 order from on Easter Sunday from a local restaurant so they could take care of the locals. And on top of it, left $125 tip. So good for him.
Very cool.
Yeah. Oh, and Barry, for you, he had 25 cans of Diet Coke, which probably were worth $700 to certain people that can't find the Diet Coke on the open market. So,
oh, boy. Is it getting bad out there yet? I'm still on the cases that we got from Sam's. I haven't had the need to buy Diet Coke yet, so I don't know.
I don't know because, like I said, Lisa drinks Diet Sunkist, and I happened to hit it right. H-E-B, the guy was restocking the shelves, and they actually had some diet products. So I don't know how that works. I did see on the news, by the way, there was a lady like 91.
Well, she doesn't drink that much, though, right? She drinks like one a day, two
yeah.
a day?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, bro. I'll go through, especially being at the house all day now, I literally will go through a 12-pack in 2 days.
There was a 12-pack in 2 days?
Yeah, 2 days.
Damn, Barry.
Yep. Yeah.
And your Nutty Bars?
Yeah, well, there's no more Nutty Bars. I ate them all, and like I said, this weekend.
Stores but, are still open. There's room for improvement there, too.
Hey, you inspired me, Joel. I'm already dieting. I've already lost a pound and a half this week.
The fact that you weigh yourself that frequently, I for a lot of reasons, I couldn't do it, but more power to you.
Hey, man. You gotta know
I'm glad if you're starting. That's good.
Yeah. You inspired me, and then everyone that's been saying how fat I look on these live streams has also inspired me.
Let's be honest. That's the one that got you. When Donna got you, I think that pushed you over the top.
No, I was already in I need to lose weight mode before Donna nailed
Filed
me.
On.
But yeah. Yeah, that was really what it was. It was more of a pile on last night with her and Nick than motivation. It was
that already, didn't sound
what got
right.
me? You want to know what really when I was like, oh boy, this is serious, is when I had Billy D. Washington on. And not even 2 minutes in, he goes, damn, bro, you got fat. Like, damn, bro, we're live. You can't be.
Wow, Billy D.
Yeah, it just crushed me. So I was like,
Nick,
all right.
Did you enjoy the pylon?
Oh, I absolutely did. I started it, really.
Yeah, he started.
I mean, on last night's podcast. Now, if he's been made fun of for being fat on any of the other podcasts, I accept no responsibility on that part. But I did take a shot.
Last night, he started it. Absolutely.
Donna piled on. It was fantastic.
That just doesn't sound right. You, jerks. Donna, and Barry in a pylon.
Nope.
All right. That's
actually, Barry did. I also saw on the news, by the way, there was a 91-year-old woman who said she was concerned
was
that
she
could not – no. That she was concerned she could not get to the grocery store because of the pandemic, and she was running low on Coors Light because she has to have at least one beer a night. And the local distributorship heard about this, stopped by, and on her front porch dropped off literally like 12 cases of Coors Light. I was like –
damn.
Woo! And she, you know what she did? She waited for the social distancing for the delivery guy to drop off the last case, and he was taking the hand truck and going back to the truck. She comes outside, sits down in the lawn chair, puts her arm up on all the cases of beer, cracks open one, and just starts sipping with a big old grin on her face. I was like, you know what? 91 and still kicking it, doing it that way? More power to you. Drink your beer, baby. She says she has one a night. She can have two. That was a nice
thing. Hell yeah. Go, Grandma. Go, Granny.
That was pretty solid.
Yeah.
John Granato would be very proud of that.
Yeah, somebody just texted that was Granato's mom. That ain't nice.
But I heard them this morning.
Uh-huh.
Granato, I didn't realize this, but they said John's never been a sweet tooth guy, but that lately he said he's all about like a certain kind of vanilla ice cream with Randall's pecans and hot or and like chocolate syrup.
What? And then what is he, five?
Yeah.
Who puts chocolate syrup on their ice cream anymore other than five-year-olds?
Then Lance was all worked up because he couldn't believe Granada was actually becoming a sweet tooth when he never had one. Then Lance also pointed out that in order to really get the most out of your sweets, you need to have some salt, and that one of the local chefs he knows does a cookie with Ruffles potato chips in it, as well as the sweets.
Boy.
And he said it was called the couch potato. Then Granado, someone brought up, one of the listeners that was concerned about because of his addiction to Coors Light, was like, well, John, when this pandemic gets over, what are you going to do? Now you got a sweet tooth, but you're still going to have to drink your beer. And Lance goes, just make a Coors Light float. Problem solved. I was like, that's so fantastic. I could see that happening, too. But you know what?
I miss
the days of growing up with root beer floats and Coke floats. Those things were...
Coke floats are strong, man.
Woo, top notch. Real Coke float. Yep.
Yep. Get you some Coke, some vanilla ice cream. I never used Dr. Pepper. I think that was a Texas thing. But I know people
make
it with Dr. Pepper. I always just did straight up Coke or root beer.
You know, my parents had the restaurant, and that's the two ways they did it. It was either root beer or Coke.
Yep.
Floats. Yeah, but they were all
world. The
other
way is how the communists do it. It's anti-American.
Yeah, and the right way is you do ice cream first and then soda, but pour slowly, I believe.
Yeah.
Because the other way you can really, you can get in trouble.
Yeah, it's going to get real, real
messy.
Foamy real quick. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So there's a pro tip on making a Coke float or a root beer float. How about do it? You got anything else before we get out of here?
No, man. Just going to go do some yard work, take advantage of this weather.
Well, I would hope you get outside.
That's my big plan, yeah.
The fact that you even know that it's sunny out and that it's cooler means that I feel better that you're actually moving around a little bit more.
I got out there yesterday, did some weed whacking for about an hour.
All right. Well, you're going to whack your weeds, and Nick's going to work on the blitz and soccer matters. No late hits tonight, Nick?
Negative. Thursday.
Well, you got that to look forward to, which is nice. All right, so it's going to be the Blitz coming up next. They'll take you till 7. Glenn Davis and Soccer Matters after that. We got a Way Back Wednesday tomorrow, so hopefully you suspects will be back to join us then. For Barry and Nick, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody, and we will talk to you tomorrow right here on ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
You gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.